the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Planning.
And I'm Chris Prytower. And today, for this edition of Lifetime Planning, we're going to be talking about nutrition and fitness trends. And researchers, Jim, they say that about 60% of us make New Year's resolutions, but only about 8% are successful in achieving those resolutions. So let's just roll up our sleeves, Jim, and talk about some of the trends affecting nutrition, fitness, and I think our listeners will be all the better for it.
All right. Well, let's start out with a couple of trends that have become, well, very trendy for 2019. And I have to get to this because one of them, and you've probably seen it if you're a stock investor, Beyond Meat, meatless meats have now become a trend. In fact, if you've gone into your latest Carl's Jr., you can actually have a meatless burger. And I'll have to say, Chris, I actually tried it. And my goodness, I couldn't tell the difference between their regular burgers. And I actually went out, ordered these meatless burgers that you can get from Beyond Meat. They have things like crumbles, they have meatless sausage, you name it, they've got it. But this seems to be the trend as more and more outfits and fast food places are now offering a meatless alternative. And so on the surface, it sounds great. It's now available in restaurants. We talked about fast foods, and you can also buy it in the grocery store.
You know, it's funny about you saying that, Jim, and you were mentioning Carl's Jr., but I've noticed it's really become popular. Burger King, KFC, there's a lot of places that are now providing meatless alternatives, and things have really changed from just a decade or two ago where you'd have a burger comprised of some sort of grains, and now you literally have something that looks, smells, and tastes, like you said, just like meat.
Yeah, I actually got the Beyond Beef burgers. I mean, if you put them on the grill, salt them and pepper them or put spices on, Chris, I had some friends over for dinner and we were going to make some burgers. And I'm going to say, guys, I want you to try something. And I gave everybody the choice of a meatless burger. They put it on the bun, put all the stuffings on it, whether it was ketchup or whatever. And everybody loved it. They couldn't tell the difference. And so you can see why this is catching on. Now, the idea is meatless is better. It's supposed to be healthier for you. Well, let's take a look at the facts. In fact, I watched a video of a doctor. The problem with these is plant-based meats, like Beyond Beef, have four times the amount of salt as beef does. And not only that, it has the same amount of saturated fat that you would find in beef. And you got to remember, the thing that really struck me about this is, how do you take this? Beyond Beef uses pea-based protein. How do you take something and make it taste like meat? Well, there's almost 23 different chemicals. It is a very highly processed food where chemicals are used to extract the protein, which is a huge concern. So these, what they call alternative meats, aren't a good nutrient source. So Chris, on the surface, this really sounds good, but when you take a look at all the processes, the chemicals, four times the amount of salt, which is not really good for those of you that have high blood pressure, it's really not that healthy.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. I was reading an article, because really this is, it's such a big deal right now. It seems like everyone's talking about it again. Many of the fast food places are carrying it, grocery stores, etc. And one article said that it's really a good alternative, particularly for someone who's trying to not take in as much cholesterol. You mentioned the chemicals and some other things, Jim, but there are some positive aspects. So, for example, it's lower in fat, it offers fiber, it doesn't have the cholesterol, but it also doesn't have the antibiotics or the animal hormones that are typically found in beef. And that's been a real concern for consumers over the last several years, are the animal hormones. But this one article was saying that you're probably not going to have a burger a meat-based burger every day. They don't recommend that you have a meatless burger every day. But they're saying if you're a meat eater and let's say 30% of your intake is from non-beef products or these sort of substitutes, that that really can potentially help you health-wise. If you're eating them all the time, as you pointed out, you're probably not doing your body any favors. One other thing I wanted to point out about this that for some of our listeners can really be a big plus to replacing or substituting beef at least at some percentage. A recent study says that beef has an environmental impact 20 to 100 times higher than plant-based foods. So for listeners that either want to completely replace or partially replace beef, it can make a big difference environmentally speaking. You know, Jim, another thing that people have been talking about, particularly over the last couple of years, there seems to be a controversy. Are eggs good for you, not good for you? What's considered good cholesterol? What's considered bad cholesterol? I've got friends, for example, that will go into the grocery store and you can buy egg whites, or you can go into a restaurant and order an omelet of just egg whites. What's your understanding on the impact of eggs?
Well, I mean, there's almost two sides to it. Some will say if you're on a keto diet, they say eggs are a great source of protein. And then you have the others that come from the other side and say, no, it's got cholesterol in it. So, but if you remove the egg yolk, you remove a lot of the good nutrients that you get from eggs. And so, but if you are concerned about cholesterol issues, you can actually go to egg whites. I've been traveling a lot lately, staying in hotels, and I usually get an egg white omelet, but you put cheese on it. So what the heck, you know, because I don't know, omelet just doesn't taste good without cheese. So it's, you know, like anything else, over the course of 17 years, everybody's eating habits are changing. You know, we're eating less red meat. But I want to point out a lot of the stuff that you pointed out that's harmful of beef is the typical type of beef that's raised on corn and hormones versus natural beef, which is raised on grass, which is what the animals were designed to eat and don't have all the antibiotics and hormones that they do to fatten up the cows or like they do with chickens. A lot of the questions on eggs came out with a study that came out from the Journal of American Medical Association that they said that eggs are bad for the heart and increases the risk of heart disease and an early death. But then there's a lot of other doctors that are coming out that this was sort of a skewed study. And so, Chris, it kind of leaves you in between because there are now counter studies that are coming out saying that, hey, it's not as bad. So, you know, if you're concerned about the cholesterol, if you're in that camp, well, you can just simply get egg whites. And if you're not, then simply get organic. I like organic cage-free eggs, just like I do with chicken.
I also have found myself looking for cage-free, organic, et cetera, just trying to, you know, minimize any of the concerns that you've brought up. One thing I did want to bring up on this conversation, there was an article, the Kaiser Permanente put it out. It's called Hype Versus Fact, the Reality Behind 2019's Most Popular Nutrition Trends. I'm going to put a link to this on our website in the show notes so people can read it. But one of the things that really caught my eye, Jim, a cucumber diet. And they wouldn't have it in the article if it wasn't something that people were doing, if it wasn't something people were talking about. But it just, it's so interesting that someone would go on a cucumber-only diet. In the article, it said for 1 to 2 weeks. Imagine only eating cucumbers for half a month. Well, the verdict that Kaiser Permanente had was don't do it, and explains all the reasons why. It's just too restrictive. You know, you're not getting all the other things that you need to get. Well, one thing you don't want to do is get on a diet that takes you right to the hospital.
Yeah. And the other thing with these kind of fad diets, and that's certainly what this is, it's not sustainable. I mean, just like you say, you can't live on cucumbers. And a lot of people that go on these fad diets, Chris, the weight usually comes back because once you get off the cucumbers, yeah, you might have lost 5, 6, 8 pounds. But then what happens when you go back to your regular diet? So what did you accomplish? Because you can't, as you point out, you can't live on cucumbers alone. As the Kaiser study points out, it's simply not sustainable.
Well, and Ryan Paplava was mentioning a few days ago here at the office about a woman on YouTube. She was on a banana-only diet. And a doctor, catching wind of it, seeing it on YouTube, responded and said, "This will literally kill you. You'll get potassium poisoning." And she got off the banana-only diet, from my understanding. But another thing that the article brought up, Jim, this one from Kaiser, was intermittent fasting. And I found this a fascinating topic because doctors talk about benefits of fasting. Many doctors talk about resetting your immune system, but intermittent fasting is something that, you know, there can be different phases, whether you fast for a day or two, you know, 2 days on, 2 days off, et cetera. There's different cycles, but they conclude that the jury is still out on whether intermittent fasting actually helps you.
You know, Chris, I have heard and I've read numerous studies that an occasional fasting is a nice way to cleanse out the system. You've people go on body cleanses, get rid of the toxins. You know, I fast on weekends usually. It's because I'm too busy. I'm out and about doing things. So, you know, I'll have breakfast in the morning and I'll skip lunch. So you could call that a partial intermittent fast. I don't know what you call it, but I go without three meals on the weekends. I just simply out and about and don't have the time.
Well, one of the things that our listeners are familiar in listening to this show, you have some experience with different health-related diets that doctors have recommended or from many of the books that you've read. And we've done shows in the past about some of these things like paleo, keto. I think at one point, Jim, you were even a vegan. And I've enjoyed listening to many of those shows where you explain the health benefits. I was wondering, Jim, if you would give maybe some kind of synopsis or rundown of maybe pros and cons or health benefits from some of those diets.
You know, it was amazing, Chris. A number of years ago, I went through a weight loss program and I was on the paleo diet. I lost close to 20 pounds, got my weight down, got my cholesterol down almost 100 points. And it was amazing following this diet. But then, you know, like anything else, and as many of you know, 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and I went through Loma Linda proton beam radiation, which, you know, if you have prostate cancer, depending on the stage, or you're a woman that has breast cancer, you know, really take a look into proton beam radiation. The success rate is just fabulous. But one of the things I came away from there is, you know, they cured me. And they basically said the last day, they go, look, if you want to stay healthy, you got to do a couple things. You got to diet, eat properly, exercise, de-stress. And these things became important to me. And that began my journey into health, looking into diets, exercise programs. And what I thought was rather interesting, I've read just about every book out there. But, you know, I interviewed the authors of the China study. We've interviewed a lot of authors on vegetarian, vegan. And so, you know, I thought I'm going to try this and just see, because some of these books, you read them and, you know, they're curing people of cancer. They're getting rid of heart disease, diabetes, all these various ailments that people have as they get older and age. And I was thinking, how do I do this? Well, I found a company called Green Chef. And if you're thinking of experimenting with a diet, but you don't know how to cook the recipes or you're just too busy, Green Chef has every single diet you can think of. Carnivore, paleo, pescatarian, keto, vegetarian, vegan. So I began going, I started vegetarian and then I went to vegan. The only problem was, Chris, and I saw this, is it was so many carbs, I gained about 12, 15 pounds. And so, you know, if you have high blood pressure, and which is what I'm trying to do is bring mine down, and we'll get to that in a minute, is you don't want to gain weight. You want to keep your weight down. And so I went back and I'm following something. I call myself a flexitarian because, you know, I will have grass-fed beef. I'll have fish. I'll have other things I like, chicken, turkey, things like that. So my diet is mixed. And then I'll also have kind of like vegetarian days. So I have a wide variety of diet. It mainly consists of lean proteins, greens, a lot of greens, kale, Swiss chard, salads, Brussels sprouts, broccoli. In fact, I'm becoming a broccoli fan. Almost broccoli is part of my daily diet. And it was funny. They were asking Ringo Starr why he looks so young. And he says, broccoli. So So he looks younger than his son. So, but anyway, I have just found, it's my personal belief, I think people have different makeups in their own body chemistry. In certain things, because of your body, certain people can process proteins much better. Certain people don't process carbs. But I think high carbs has a lot to do with what we're seeing with diabetes and weight gains that we've seen over the years in this country. And so I have found what worked for me is, you know, becoming a flexitarian. I'm not so obstinate about, okay, this is just one way and I'm going to do it this way. I just found this is what works for me. And I think that's what you have to do, Chris. You have to try this with the supervision of a doctor. What I did is when I was on this program, after 3 months, I went to my doctor. We took blood tests. We looked at everything from triglycerides to cholesterol to just about everything you can think of. And what I found that has worked, at least for me, has been keto.
And, you know, when we talk about nutrition and things that really make a difference to overall health, one thing that we have to include in there are staying physically fit. And again, this is something that we've covered on Lifetime Planning in the past with specific programs, specific exercising. This is an area, Jim, that you've got some real experience with. I enjoy here around the office hearing about some of the things that you have personal experience with, certain products that you've purchased. You know, a lot of times we'll hear advertisements on things, but we don't really know who or what we can trust because they're always trying to sell us something. But what are some personal gems that you've used you think could be of benefit to our listeners?
What I actually did when we built and designed our house, I actually built an indoor gym where I have individual commercial equipment. And it's interesting, and this is something I'd highly recommend for those of you that are getting older. I'm going to physical therapy right now because I injured myself with my rotator cuff doing some heavy lifting and also doing dips. And I asked a fitness expert. She was a physical therapist. We had her on the show because we had a lot of requests from listeners that were having knee injuries, problems as they aged and got older. So we had a physical therapist on. And I asked her a question. I said, okay, so as you begin any kind of exercise program, it's very important that you check with your doctor, get a physical, and get into shape. That was number one. And then I said, number two, get yourself a physical trainer. So you know that you're doing the exercise, the forms, and you're also doing things correctly. And she said, no, the second thing that you need to do is talk to a physical therapist where they can test your flexibility, take a look at your body composition, you know, your posture, your age, and things like that. And she was absolutely correct because, you know, as you age, obviously the things that you were able to do in your 30s and 40s, you may not be able to do when you're in your 60s, 70s, or 80s. And so I ended up like an idiot, basically injuring myself. And it's kind of like that macho thing, well, I'll just work my way through the pain. Well, that didn't help because I ended up wrecking my other rotator cuff. Mm. So now what I find is very helpful is I do a lot of what I call functional training work for my upper and lower body. That's cables. And there are a lot of machines out there. One of them we had on the show, and it's becoming very trendy, and that's home gyms. And Silicon Valley is getting into the fitness business. And one of the machines I use is a Tonal. It looks like a vertical LED TV. You mount it on the wall. It has digital weights. It has two articulating arms that you can rotate in different positions. And I find it actually a tougher workout than regular weights because whatever you're doing, whether you're doing curls, you're doing presses, you're doing squats, whatever it is, you have not only pressure both upward and downward in any kind of movement that you have. And it's, you know, for, especially for those of you that don't have a lot of space for a gym. I mean, this literally, as long as you have 16-inch studs in your house, you can mount it on a wall. It doesn't take up a lot of space. And I highly recommend you get the bench. Another piece of equipment I use is something called the mirror. It is a mirror. It's about 18 inches wide, probably a little over 4 feet in height. You put it on the wall and you have an app. And through the mirror, it's the most remarkable thing. I use it for yoga and barre. Your instructor appears on the mirror, leads you through a workout, and you can see yourself doing the movements right next to your instructor. It's just amazing piece of equipment. Once again, something that can fit in everybody's home. And then there's something else I use. It's called the Fit Bench. It is a bench that comes with all kinds of attachments. It has springs, which is what Tom Brady uses for a lot of his flexibility in his workouts. It has a medicine ball. It has dumbbells. It has a battle rope and also serves as a bench, but it's very compact. It's only about 17 inches wide, 20 inches tall, and probably about 46 inches. And it comes on rotating wheels, so I can move it out in the middle of my floor if I want to do something like a battle rope or if I want to do some very complex spring movements. But it's something, Chris, that is affordable. Now, there's another one that I didn't get, and that's Peloton. And you've probably seen their commercials. You're probably going to see a lot more of them during the Christmas season, the Peloton bike and the Peloton tread, where you basically get on your bike, your treadmill. You got all of these programs you can join in sort of, but all of them are subscription-based. Tonal is subscription, Mirror is subscription, and so is Peloton. But the idea is this is better than a gym membership. I like it, Chris, because I do it in my own gym. I can listen to music or listen to the news, whatever I want, and I can exercise whenever I want. I don't have to worry about waiting in line or taking a towel and wiping down the equipment because somebody just spent an hour on a treadmill and just got on a piece of equipment with body sweat all over. Another thing I really would like to talk about, especially a lot of you that have had blood pressure. I was diagnosed with blood pressure a little over 10 years ago. And it was my goal as I got more and more into fitness, reading about diet, you know, keeping your weight down is very important with blood pressure. But I also wanted to get off the medication completely. So I went to my regular physician and said, look, before you do something like this, you need to go see a cardiologist. So I went and talked to the cardiologist. I said, look, I want to get off these pills. And I said, here's what I'm doing, and this is very important. I do a half an hour of cardio every single day, 3 days a week. I do just basically sort of kind of like a distance in time cardio workout. That's 30 minutes. And then I also do something on my off weight lifting days. I lift about 3 days a week. I do interval training, and I do something called Sprint 8. And that is, you know, I'll set an elevation at 3 degrees on the treadmill, and I'll go up to 6 or 7, and I'll go from maybe 3 miles, 3.2 miles an hour, to 4.2 miles an hour. So it's interval, it's 20 minutes, it's kind of like a high intensity workout. And doing a half an hour of cardio every single day is very important if you want to bring down your blood pressure. And then finally, one thing I'm doing besides diet is I use a device called the Zona. And this is a handheld isometric device. It's about 12 minutes worth of exercise that you do 5 days a week. They discovered this with fighter pilots that when they were going through these G-force pulls, a lot of them would black out. So they had this stick that they developed that they would hold on to as they went through these G-turns. And what happened, Chris, is coming out of it, they measured these guys after 3 to 6 months. They had their blood pressure dropped. And so getting back, working with my cardiologist, I asked him, I said, look, I want to get off these pills. What do I need to do? And he said, well, you need to get your blood pressure down. He said, down to the 110 level. I was about 126, 128 with medication. And I'm happy to say now, as a result of diet, as a result of using the Zona, and as a result of cardio, I'm now 110 over 70. And so if I keep it at that rate over 3 months, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to cut my medication in half. If I still keep it in that 110, I'm actually trying to get a little bit lower than that. The next thing we're going to do is then I will finally get off the medication. So I'm due for another blood test or another exam, and I record my blood pressure. And every time I go in, you know, the doctors are just saying, my God, your provider has a health history of every time you check in, what your blood pressure, your weight, etc. And I've been consistently coming in at 110, 112, 113. So I'm happy to say a lot of this stuff can be corrected with diet, exercise.
Jim, I'm glad you mentioned the Zona, because when we did a show not too long ago about the Zona, the company was kind enough to give a $50 discount to any of our listeners that would like to get a Zona for themselves. All they have to do is use the discount code Financial Sense.
Oh, okay. And then finally, one of the things, and we hope to get one of these experts on, is I do cardio 6 days a week. I do weightlifting 3 days a week. The other 3 days a week, I do yoga and Pilates. I use a reformer Cadillac machine, and it's really important for those of us as we get older to maintain our flexibility and our balance, because we all heard about people that get in their 80s, they have falls and the damage it does. And I also would like to say one of the things I really love is the Apple Watch. It's a must to have, because the new Apple Watch not only keeps track of your heart rate if you're exercising, but also if you ever fall or trip, it'll alert you. And if you don't respond in 60 seconds, it will call 911. And one of the reasons this is important, and this I'm just sharing from a personal point of view, I lost my mother, it'll be 2 years this November, but she had a stroke. And when she had a stroke, she fell, she hit her head, and Chris, nobody found her for 5 hours. And so One of the things that I've been recommending to some clients that have either a spouse or a loved one that has dementia or a loved one that has heart disease is an Apple Watch. Because if they fall, something happens, and no response within 60 seconds, it automatically goes into a 911 call, which could be difference between life and death. And so these are just some of the technology. And it's interesting, Chris, Google just bought Fitbit. There are a lot of devices that are coming out. Omron, that makes the blood pressure cuff that you normally go in to the doctor, now has a blood pressure fitness watch you can put on your wrist, takes your blood pressure, measures it, records it, can send it to your cardiologist. And that's what I'm using. I'm using that because it tracks it, because when you're working with a cardiologist and you want to reduce your medication, they want to make sure that, you know, measure your blood pressure at different times of the day, and they're looking for consistency that you're gradually bringing it down. Like I said, my goal, I went from nearly 130. I'm now down to 110 over 70, and I hope to get it down to, you know, 105, under 110 over 60, which is my ideal goal.
You know, speaking of Fitbit, which, you know, tracks steps, for example, walking really is something that, you know, maybe not all of our listeners can bench press or do some of the exercises that you've described. Maybe some of them don't have access to some of the in-home gyms, but most people listening can walk. And you know what comes to my mind, Jim, in addition to the Fitbit, Bob Hope. I was a fan of Bob Hope's for just years and years and years and years. And one of the things that he would always do is walk. And even into his 60s and beyond, after he'd do a personal appearance, sometimes as late as 2 a.m, he would go on a walk. And it would drive his staff crazy, because they might be, you know, doing a show in an unsafe area. And to make things a little more palatable for his staff, he would sometimes carry a golf club with him when he'd go on a walk, because it'd be, again, in the middle of the night. But he was able to attribute some of his longevity to just simply going on walks on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great exercise, and especially as you get older, walking or being on a treadmill. I use a special treadmill that's called a Woodway. It's used by the NFL. It's used by a lot of athletes because it's got rubber slats and runs on ball bearings. It's almost like walking on ground. The reason I like the treadmill, Chris, it's I can measure everything that I'm doing, my calories, my workout, my METs, all the kind of things that I'm trying to kind of measure in what I'm doing to achieve my fitness goals. And so I just found it, but you're absolutely right. Simple walking, and that doesn't cost a lot of money.
Now, Jim, going back to some of the in-home pieces of equipment that you've talked about, if there were just one or two pieces of equipment that just go straight to the top of your list that you would recommend, what would those be?
It'd probably be the Tonal Gym. It mounts on the wall, doesn't take up a lot of space, and it's just an amazing piece of equipment. And probably the second one, depending on your age, would be the FitBench, because it's very compact. It's got dumbbells, kettlebells, medicine ball, springs. It's a bench itself. You can use it for plyometrics. And what's nice, it rolls out. And so these are two pieces of equipment that can fit into anybody's apartment or home. In fact, the FitBench is one of the things I'm thinking of carrying and putting on my RV. So that's one of the things I think that people will find. And, you know, Chris, it could be less expensive than a gym membership. You know, depending on where you go, some of these gym memberships can cost you $60, $70, sometimes even more a month. Anyway, we will continue our quest for health, always on the lookout for trends, books that are coming out, studies that are coming out, and we invite you to let us know. For example, we got a physical therapist on here as a request from many of you that were going through knee replacements, rotator cuffs, anything you want to hear, diet, exercise, health trends, yoga, whatever it is, let us know, and we'll see if we can get the experts on the program. In the meantime, on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant and fun holiday weekend.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.